All right, you have your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 32 for tonight. Jeremiah chapter 32. When we leave Jeremiah, we'll be going to Genesis 18, 14. We'll stop here, Jeremiah 32, 17, Jeremiah 32, 27. Then we'll go to Genesis 18, 14. When we leave there, we'll be headed to Psalm 77, verse 19, and 78, 18. When we leave there, we'll go to Zechariah 8, verse 6. And if we get out of Zechariah 8, verse 6, we'll go to Romans 4, 21. Anyway, in case you're asking. This message tonight, I was meditating on these scriptures just privately, personally, probably a month ago, and just in my own personal quiet time. And then during one of those meditations, it developed into something more than that, and I realized that this was actually a message that was coming forth out of those meditations. And all of the times I've spoken since then, I've asked the Lord, would that fit? And it just didn't seem to fit. But when I asked him about tonight, then I had an instant peace. And so was why we're speaking to you out of this scripture tonight. Let me just set this up. Jeremiah, mighty prophet of God. He's giving the word of the Lord, and as he gives the word of the Lord to Zedekiah, Zedekiah is hesitant to receive the word of the Lord. Israel is going through a cycle of disobedience, and the blessing of the Lord that had been so mightily upon them as he gave them the land of Canaan and as they took town after town, the blessing of the Lord began to recede. And God began to prophesy through Jeremiah that if the people didn't repent and turn around, that his blessing wouldn't continue to abound upon them while they were being disobedient. But Israel persisted in their disobedience. As a matter of fact, they started worshiping Baal. And the Bible says they even worshiped Molech. And now Molech was the god who the surrounding countries sacrificed their children to Molech in the most ungodly. If you can just imagine that, their worship to their god Molech was to kill their children, sacrifice their children to him. The only thing I know comparable to that is what we do today. 700,000 babies that are aborted every year is just like sacrificing to Molech. But it's true. Amen. That's true. And those of us who fight for these children should continue the fight because it's a worthy cause. But Israel had stooped so low in their disobedience, and God was giving the word through Jeremiah to King Zedekiah that, listen, turn around, turn the people around. I'll bless you if you turn the people around. But Zedekiah wouldn't listen. As a matter of fact, he got mad at Jeremiah, and he told Jeremiah, I'm tired of you prophesying doom and gloom. And Jeremiah had begun to say that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take over Jerusalem. He's going to run through Jerusalem. He's going to destroy the whole city. But Zedekiah wouldn't turn around, and he threw Jeremiah in prison. And Jeremiah prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar is going to take you, talking to Zedekiah, he's going to take you into captivity. He's going to pluck your eyes out. And then he said that God, in his mercy, will always have a remnant of people and will always bring his people back. And he said after Israel's disobedience, God's mercy would kick in. Aren't you glad he's a merciful God? The Bible said this, he's rich in mercy. Aren't you glad about that? And so he said, Jeremiah prophesied that after a certain time that God would bring the people back to Israel and he would restore Israel and he would restore his people. And so that's what's going on here in chapter 32. Our key verse right down here, verse 17 is where we're going. I'll read 16 and just give a little more context. Jeremiah 32, 16 says, after I had given the deed of purchase to the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Amen. I want you to close your eyes and talk to the Lord and tell him this out loud. Nothing is too difficult for you. Say it to him now one more time. Nothing is too difficult for you. Yeah, he's an awesome God. I said he's an awesome God. And I said, you may be facing trouble tonight. You may be facing some situation that you can't see your way out of. You may be facing a situation with impossible odds. But I came to tell you tonight, nothing is too difficult for your God. I said, doesn't matter how big your problem it is. Doesn't matter how you can't figure it out. You don't know what's going on, but your God knows all about it. And he knows how to fix that thing for you. I said, nothing's too difficult for God. And so here in the context of the story, then God says that I'm going to bring to pass what I said. And Nebuchadnezzar's going to take this city. And God says, and God told him, he said, I'm not going to hold him back. I'm going to let him do it. Israel's disobedience, you know. And so Zedekiah then, instead of repenting, he went out and made an illegal alliance with Egypt. And when Nebuchadnezzar heard that he had made an alliance with Egypt, he marched on Jerusalem. And just before they took the city, the Bible says they put siege ramps up at Jerusalem, which meant either they were going to put up something, a ramp to go over the wall to take it, or sometimes it meant they were going to set up these barriers to knock a hole through the wall where they could go through. They put the siege ramps on there. They're just about to take the city. And they put siege ramps on the city. And their enemy troops, Nebuchadnezzar's enemy troops, were all over Jerusalem. They were all around Jerusalem and the outside areas. And God says this to Jeremiah. He says, don't forget, I'm going to bring this people back. I'm going to restore them. Thank you. And they were in an impossible situation. Impossible situation. And it was so impossible that the Lord, he told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to buy a field here. Buy a field. And he said, in fact, your cousin, really his uncle sent his cousin. He said, your uncle will send your cousin, and they're going to offer you to buy a field just outside Jerusalem. And God told him, go buy that field. Buy it. And God said, get the deed for it. And then publicly file the deed, so that people can see that you bought that field and that you own that field. It was a ridiculous request from the natural perspective. From the natural. Because look, the enemy was standing in the field. The field God told Jeremiah to buy, the enemy's boots were standing in the field. They already had that field. Now why would you, and then his relative says, hey, you want to buy this field? He realized Jerusalem just about to be captured. They're about to lose all their land. He says, you want to buy this field from me? Just before the obvious answer would have been, no, I'm not buying any field from you. Why would I buy a field from you that the enemy has already taken? Oh, but God was up to something good. And let me tell you, my brother and sister, God's always up to something good. And you and I can't always see like he sees. We can't see what he's up to. But I can tell you this about your life. He's up to something good. And he's waiting for you and I to cooperate with him. I said, if we'll cooperate more, he'll get it to us. I said, I wish I had amen in here. He's up to something good. And so he told Jeremiah, buy that field. Buy it. And file the deed publicly so they can see you. And Jeremiah felt like a fool. But he did what God said, and he bought the field. And the people looked at him like he was an idiot. Why would you buy a field and the enemy's boots are standing in the field? And he bought the field, and he held up the deed, and he said he wanted the deed filed in a clay jar that would preserve that deed. Man. And they looked at him like he was a fool. And that's when he says, ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power. It used to be a song back in the 80s. We used to sing this song. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Anybody remember that? Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched hand arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed. Oh, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing. And in the 80s, we'd be doing the charismatic hop, you know. But anyway. But that song come right out of Jeremiah. So he said, ah, Lord God, he said, nothing is too difficult for you. Amen. Not even this field. But it seemed the odds were so stacked against him when he bought the field that the commentaries say that he began to lose a little of his faith, And he wavered a little bit. And God has to remind him of what he's already said about God. And if you read down at verse 27, it's the Lord speaking this time. At verse 27, the 26 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult? God had to remind him, is anything too difficult for me? There's nothing too difficult for me. And sometimes, you know, if we're not careful, we can get a little fuzzy in our faith. So they can't get no amen there. John the Baptist, he came preaching, prepare the way of the Lord, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But, you know, after he got arrested and started going through some trials and tribulation, you know what John the Baptist said? He said, send a message to Jesus asking this. Are you the one or am I looking for another? You ever had a moment like that in faith? Where the Lord told you something and then later you say, are you the one or am I looking for another? Is this the right thing? Am I looking for another? You know, but the Lord told him, no, is anything too difficult for me? And the obvious answer was, no, there's nothing too difficult for me. And of course, God did what he promised. And Jeremiah bought the land and God brought Israel back into the land. And just like he had promised, what he did was an act of faith. It was an act of faith. Here's my first point tonight. Walk by faith, not by sight. You got a difficult problem. You might be emotional over it. You might be crying over it. You might be going, I don't know, but I can tell you this, crying won't bring your answer. You can cry. You can be like David and 1 Samuel 30, verse 5, they cried till there was no more strength to cry. And at some point when you get done crying, you're going to have to get up off your knees from crying. It's all right to be on your knees, but if you're down there just crying, you're going to have to finish that. You're going to have to get those tears out. Why? Because you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. So if you must cry, cry it out. Get it out. Go on and get it out. But then get yourself ready to walk. 2 Corinthians 5 says, walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because there's nothing too difficult for God. I said there's nothing too difficult for God. I remember years ago, we were purchasing our first home. And I told you a story recently about the home that I just purchased and having to sell up my house and the house I sold. I told you about an impossible situation the Lord worked through. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the first home we bought. And the second home we bought. And we were in a time crunch because we found the house we wanted to buy. And that house was vacant. And so we entered into a contract on that house, just had peace, just had prayed it out, and entered into a contract on that house. But here's the thing, our house hadn't sold yet. And so we had an extended contract with time to sell, but it was only, you know, maybe it was a couple of months in there. And so then if we didn't sell our house within those couple of months, we're going to have to go back and renegotiate the contract. But we felt peace and we entered into that contract, but we hadn't even had our house on the market yet. And this was the first house we had bought here. Hadn't had it on the market yet. And I'll never forget. It just seemed good to me on the inside that we should just get all the furniture out. Because it was a nice little house. It had been custom built in 1985. And we knew somebody would just love that house. But we had too much furniture. We had outgrown the house. By the time we were buying that second house, my niece and nephew were living with us, and we had our own son, Stephen, and I don't know if John might have been on the way. So anyway, we'd outgrown that house. And so the bottom line is, I felt like in my spirit that we should get everything out of that house, and that then if we put some fresh paint in it, it would sell quick. And at the time that I felt that, we were running out of time already. The house already needed to be on the market. But there were some things that needed to be done to the house. And because so many things needed to be done to the house, we were taking care of those things and it was delaying getting it on the market. And the longer we let that lapse, the closer we're getting to our contract date to buy the house that we want to buy. And so to make a long story shorter, I don't know what I'm doing with the long story. But anyway, to finish the story. So in feeling like we needed to get everything out, there was no place to put it but into storage, and that was going to be expensive and double moving and all of that. The house we were moving into was vacant, and so I wanted to ask the seller of the house we're moving into, could we move some things into the garage before we buy the house? Which is really a big no-no. If you're selling property, you don't let anybody move anything in. And I never forget the woman, she was a sweet Baptist lady, and she said to me, first of all, everybody told me that's impossible, it's never going to happen. Nobody in their right mind will let you do that. But I felt in prayer, I prayed about it and felt like I should ask her, so I asked her. And so she said to me, well, I'll get back with you. And she called me back in about 3 days, and she said this. She said, you know, Bill, she said, I asked everybody, and she went through, I'm trying to shorten the story. She asked her pastor, she asked her son-in-law who was a doctor, she asked her best friend, and they all said, do not do that. Not even in the garage. Because first of all, and it's a good reason. I mean, a lot of times you let people move in early, they find things wrong with the house, they try to renegotiate, which is... And so she said, but I asked the Lord about it. After all of that, and she said, the Lord told me, I'm absolutely certain, he told me not only to let you move your things into the garage, but move everything you have into the house. And she said, everybody's telling me I'm crazy. My kids are mad at me. My friends are mad at me. My pastor is mad. She said, but I know the Lord told me on my knees when I asked him about it that I should let you do that. It was an impossible situation. And I thanked her. And she said, and you guys just move right on in. We'll keep the contract date and just move right on in. And we moved out of that house and into that house with no contract. I'm talking about a God who can do anything but fail. I said, I'm talking about a God who's more than enough. I'm talking about a God who nothing is too difficult for him. And he spoke that to my heart. And once I checked it out and confirmed it, he did. He opened the door and we moved everything in there. Got everything out of that house. And I'll never forget, we were 2 weeks from the closing date now. We're moved into a house. We got no contract on that. We're 2 weeks from the date we're supposed to close, and we just put that house on the market. 2 weeks before. How many know? But our God, that house sold in less than 24 hours. Real estate agent, her name was Teresa. She called back then. We had a physical message box, and she called, left a message. The house is already sold. The house is already sold. It's sold overnight. I didn't even text 24 hours. Call me. She said, we put the sign up. We put the sign up late on a Friday afternoon around 4 o'clock. And she said, we got that sign up and somebody asked to see it around 6. They took one walk through your house and said, I want this house right now, and put down $2,500 escrow. Said, whatever I need to do, I don't want anybody else to see it before I buy it. They said, and they bought that house. And we had all the money we needed to close with. I'm talking about a God who can do anything but fail. And he is an amazing God. But you have to walk by faith, not by sight. And let me tell you, faith will always line up with the word. And whatever it is you feel God told you, make sure, check that out. Make sure on the inside, make sure that's what God said. And remember this, God's word, God will always line up with the word. And listen, be sensitive, because we can be wrong. How many know we can miss it? Ooh, two people know we can miss it. If we can miss it, if we're not careful. And so make sure it lines up. And so here Jeremiah is confronted with God telling him what he already knew is anything too difficult for me. Go to Genesis 18 now. Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Verse 14 is our key, but just to set it up real quick for you, God sends three angels to Abraham to talk to him about a promise that he made. And the angels show up and they ask, where is Sarah, his wife? And Abraham says, she's in the tent over there. And then the angels say, by this time next year, she's going to be with child. It's so unlikely. She laughs. And God has to say, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And let's go to the scripture and take a look. We're in Genesis 18 and down at verse, let's see how, sure, can I go? 13. Well, let's start at 9, verse 9, Genesis 18, 9. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed at herself, saying, "After I've become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, in being? After I've become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord?" There's that phrase again. Man. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? And of course, right on time, here come Isaac. But you know, the key thing that we have to remember here is, look, you're going to have to speak to your situation, speak to your mountain, and you're going to have to believe the promises of God. Keep your finger there in Genesis 18. Look at Romans 4:21. Romans 4:21. Talking about that situation. Romans 4:21. 20 says, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. I said, you're going to have to speak to your situation, and you're going to have to believe what he promised you. Amen. I said, first, you're going to have to walk by faith, not by sight. Secondly, you're going to have to speak to your mountain, speak to your situation, and believe whatever he promised you. Amen. And I'll tell you this, if you'll speak to it, and if you'll believe what he promised, if you'll be fully persuaded that what God promised you, he's able to bring to pass, I tell you what, it won't be long. God's going to bring that thing to pass in your life. And I'll tell you this, for Sarah, God predicted that she was going to be pregnant, give birth to a son that next year. But for others sitting right here listening to me, you're pregnant with something different. For a few of you, this might be about a child, but for most of you, this is about something different than a child. There's something in you that you're going to give birth to. And I said, if you'll cling to the promises of God, and if you'll speak by faith out of your mouth those promises that God has given you, God is going to bring it to pass, and you're going to be fully persuaded that what God promised you, he's able to perform it. Amen. I say, it may look unlikely now. You may look like the last candidate for that. It may not look like that's going to ever happen to you. You may be believing God for health and healing in your body, and you may not see changes in your body right now to that effect. But oh, if you'll cling to the promises of God. Oh, if you'll keep confessing the word. Oh, if you'll keep on speaking in spite of what you're feeling. Oh, if you'll put his word ahead of what you feel. I said, the day is quickly coming to pass, and it shall come to pass at last. And what God promised you, he shall perform. I said, hey, what he promised you, he's going to bring it to pass. And Sarah, it was so unlikely. She laughed back there in the tent. She was saying, in effect, it's impossible to do that. She was saying, in effect, God, you got here too late. But I want to tell you tonight, you are not too young to do what God called you to do, to have what God called you to have. You are not too old to do what God called you to do, to do what God called you to have. You're not too black or too white or too brown or too whatever color you are to do what God told you to do. If you'll cling to the promises of God, it doesn't matter who you are or where you came from, what side of the tracks you come from. Hey, God will lift you up and bring you on through. Oh, yes, he will. I said, oh, yes, he will. But you're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. You're going to have to cling to the promises of God and speak to those promises. Run with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, From the New Living, verse 19, Psalm 77 from the New Living Translation, talking about how God led Israel through the Red Sea. Listen to it in the New Living. I love it. He says, your road led through the sea, a pathway no one knew was there. What's your point, preacher? God could make a way out of no way. I said, while you're asking, can you do it, God, can you do it? I said, God can make a way out of no way. The Bible said right there, the Bible said, your road, what road? The road that he had for Israel. They couldn't see it. He led them out of Egypt, but as they were walking toward the Red Sea, they couldn't see it. And the Bible said he had a road that he led them on. It was through the sea. But to see that road, you had to see with the eyes of faith. Hey, to see the road God's got from you, you're going to have to stop looking up here in the natural. You're going to have to shift your focus down here. You're going to have to get your eyes down here in faith and start looking from here. Oh, but if you'll look from here, God's got a way you hadn't considered before. He's got a way you hadn't thought about yet. I know you know everything, but God's got a way you didn't figure out yet. I said, God knows how to do it. He's got a road they couldn't see that led right through the sea. Oh, they got upset because Pharaoh was closing in. They got upset because there were jagged mountains uncrossable to the left of them and jagged mountains to the right they couldn't cross. And Pharaoh quickly closing in, but God had a road they didn't know about. I said, he's got a way that you don't know about. He is a way maker. He is a need meter. I said, hey, he's a door opener. And he's got a way you don't know about. And he can do what you haven't figured out yet. And if you'll trust him, he'll bring you on through to the other side. And he's got a road. It led right through the water. Right through the water. And they walked across on dry ground. They hadn't anticipated that. And I came to tell you tonight, there's some things about your father that you have not yet anticipated. And he's got a way already worked out. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we're running out of time. Jesus told the disciples to feed all the people who had come to see him. And they were, Philip and the others responded, if we worked for 6 months, we couldn't make enough money to feed these people. And they just said, Jesus, you know, there's no way to feed them. If we got jobs right now, work 6 months, we couldn't buy enough bread to feed these people. But read John 6:6. It says that Jesus already knew what he was about to do. Amen. He was just waiting for them to cooperate. He knew what he was about to do. He wasn't dependent upon them for the miracle. That was just a little test of faith. He knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to feed them all. He was looking for cooperation. And I tell you, if you'll hook up with God and if you'll cooperate, he'll bring you on through to the other side. Let's pray. Father, we, in our time, we've endeavored to share with your people. You're a way maker, Father God. You're a need meter. There are people listening to this message right now, Father, who are in impossible situations. They have racked their brains trying to figure out, how can I do it? How can I get out of it? How can I get through it? And they haven't been able to do it. Oh, but you are not a God who's limited to human thinking, Father God. You are high and above. And Father, you've got it all worked out. And you already know what you're intending to do. And whether it's a house or a car or a body, whether it is a tangible situation or an intangible situation, whether it's a problem on the job, a problem with the child, whether it's a problem at home, whether it's a problem in a bank account, whatever it is, Father, we know you've got the answer tonight. So we trust you and we look to you. Pray that you'll encourage and lift up your people and help them tonight. Remember that you've got a road that they had not yet anticipated. A road that unless they're looking in the spirit, they won't be able to see it. And so we thank you for helping your people, for lifting them up, for bringing them through. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Oh, my friend, that's it for tonight. Listen, if you need prayer, you want somebody to agree with you, that's what these anointed men and anointed women are up here for. You know how we do by now. Come on down here if you want prayer and want somebody to agree with you.